Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Today, we are going to be really, you're in for a treat today. You're going to be hearing from one of our own team here today as she comes up to preach. Tracy Kelsey, why don't we put our hands for her, help us together for her. Come up, Tracy. Wonderful. She's got a few fans here. What can I say? Come over here. Tracy's been part of our staff team for a couple of years now. Wow, a couple of years now. But before that, been incredible. Well, she is an incredible servant in the house. Has led and been part of the team here for many years alongside her husband, Bruce, and her kids. And she's just incredible in the way that she loves people. She has a great capacity to love people and to encourage people to connect and be part of the house. She's our pastoral care coordinator, and it's just been such a blessing to this place. She's a blessing to Mark and I. But I also know that she has a real passion for the word of God, and she carries such an anointing to minister that so powerfully. So can I encourage you to really lean in to what she brings today? It's going to bless your heart and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. So let's put our hands together for her one more time. Over to you.
I just wanted to thank Hummy and the team first off. That was a really beautiful moment in worship, and I'm pretty sure we could all agree there was just, and there is just such a tangible presence of God here this morning. And I know that he doesn't take lightly when he steps onto the stage. None of the team do, and it's something that they diligently pray into in the week, and we are incredibly blessed by that, so thank you. I also just want to take a moment to honour our campus pastors, Pastor Mel and Pastor Mark. Thank you for leading and loving us the way that you do. These guys genuinely care about us. They, you know, we chat in the week, and there is not a family that calls Nations Church home that they do not pray for and actually purposefully think about. And it's just a real honour to do this with you, but it's also a real honour that I get to bring the word today, and I don't take that lightly, so thank you. So before we start, I would really love to pray. We can never pray too much, and I think it will just calm my nerves a bit. So yeah, if you could just all just bow your heads. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you, God, that you're here, that you're ministering to every single one of us, Holy Spirit. Thank you that this morning it's not my words, but yours. Thank you that you get all the glory. So I just pray that you have your way in this place. Bless us as we lean in. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Matt. That was awesome. Matt looked at me from the side and did a, like, breathe. Anyway, today I would love to take you to a passage of scripture that at the heart is all about serving. This account retells the story of Ruth, a young Moabite woman who is faced with making a rather big decision. She can stay in the place that she knows well, a place where she is very comfortable, or she can choose to follow her mother-in-law and step into something much bigger than herself. For those who may not be overly familiar with this passage, I'm just going to give you a brief introduction to the book. So Ruth was the daughter-in-law of Naomi. Naomi, the wife of Elimelech and the mother of Mahlon and Chilion, had moved with her husband to Moab. They had left Judah because of the famine. And while in Moab, Naomi's husband dies. Her sons, Mahlon and Chilion, take for themselves Moabite wives, Orpah and Ruth. But once again, tragedy strikes, and the sons die. So now Naomi is left without a husband, without her sons, and without any heirs. So she decides to return to Judah. God has blessed the land, and the famine is over. So if you have your Bibles with you, or your phones, whichever one, let's read together from Ruth 1, verse 6 to 18. And it should be up on the screen. Thanks, Teagues. So when Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living, and she set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness, as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in another home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord has turned his hand against me." At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Wow.
Yeah, great.
That's a pretty full passage of scripture.
Yeah, it is.
And a pretty challenging one when you read it.
Yeah.
As we look at it, though, there's something worth paying attention to. It's how differently each of the women responded. Orpah, afraid of leaving everything she knows and is familiar with, decides to turn back and return home. But Ruth is someone who has clearly had a personal revelation about what she needs to do.
Yes.
She is not making any decision based on comfort or familiarity. Instead, she's making a decision based entirely on serving.
Yeah, that's right.
So I guess the question that we can all ask ourselves this morning is this: am I an Orpah or a Ruth? Am I someone who, when faced with uncertainty and unfamiliarity, turns back?
Wow.
Someone who retreats to my comfort zone, to the place where I know that things are going to perhaps look easy?
Yeah.
Or am I a Ruth? Someone who is prepared to step out into the unknown territory and bravely do something that is perhaps going to make me feel somewhat uncomfortable?
Mm.
You see, Orpah wasn't prepared to find out what awaited her if she followed Naomi. As soon as she was given an out, she took it. She returned to everything she knew and everything she understood. Her intentions were good at the start, but her follow-through was basically non-existent.
Yeah, wow.
Ruth, on the other hand, did not know what following Naomi was ultimately going to look like.
Yeah.
She did not know about Boaz or his fields. She did not stop to consider if she would ever find another husband or one day have an heir.
Yeah, that's right.
All Ruth knew was that she loved Naomi,
mm,
and she was prepared to serve her no matter what.
Yeah, wow.
No matter what.
Wow.
That's a big one.
Yes.
There's another passage of scripture in the Bible that powerfully illustrates how our choices affect not only our lives, but the lives of our future as well. How a simple yes to God can set us on a totally different path. I'd love if you'd turn with me to the book of Luke, and let's read together from verse 26 of chapter 1. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin who pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end."
Yeah, great.
"How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." That's a pretty good question. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your words to me be fulfilled." And the angel left her. "I am the Lord's servant."
Yeah, great.
Mary may well have hesitated when the angel began speaking to her. I know I would have. She may even have hesitated as she began to fully grasp and understand what was going to take place. All of this uncertainty and unfamiliarity never stopped her from saying those five life-changing words, "I am the Lord's servant."
Yeah,
Mary understood just how messy this could all have gotten.
Yeah.
But you know what? She took God at his word.
Yes.
And she believed him when he said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you."
Yeah, very good.
Do you believe that about yourself? Do you believe that you, every single one of you, are highly favored by God?
Wow.
And have reason to rejoice?
Yeah, wow.
Do you believe that the serving God is calling you to, albeit out of your comfort zone, could in fact bless your life and someone else's too?
Yeah.
Do you believe that his Spirit will not only come upon you, but actually fill you and enable you to do what he's calling you to do?
Yeah, come on.
Both these women, Ruth and Mary, didn't know what their serving was going to ultimately produce. All they knew was that they were prepared to step out of their safe zone and do something that did not feel comfortable.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Both these women knew that in order to serve, they had to make some tough choices. They had to believe that God was going to be with them, that they were going to find favor among men, and that they were going to see the plans of God unfold for their lives and ultimately for the lives of others too.
Yeah, great.
Something that really stood out to me when I was reading about these two women was how much they were willing to sacrifice, give up, the cost they knew that they were going to have to pay.
That's right.
They understood what it meant to lay down their own will and their own desires.
Right.
Both Ruth and Mary knew that if they wanted to serve, and they wanted to serve well, then they needed to be willing to sacrifice some stuff.
Yeah.
And they needed to allow love.
Wow.
Not only love for God, but love for others as well, to motivate them.
Yeah.
So this morning, I'd love us to take a closer look at these two things. And the title of my message is The Love and Cost of Serving.
Right.
In the Greek word, and I might completely hash how you say this, but I'll do it anyway. Apologies to any Greek students in the room. The word for serving is the word doulos, which means to bind.
Yeah, great.
It is most commonly used to describe one who gives him or herself up to the will of another, binding themselves to another.
Wow.
A willing slave, if you like.
Yes.
When we look at the lives of Ruth and Mary, we can see that both these women were willing to give up their will and bind themselves to the will of God.
Yeah, wow.
So great.
Jesus in the book of Matthew explains to his disciples that in order for them to truly follow him and do the will of the one who sent him, they would have to deny themselves, pick up their cross, and follow him daily. Binding themselves, if you like, to his will.
Yeah, wow.
Jesus knew that serving God came at a cost. We all know the cost he paid. But what about the cost that we have to pay? Perhaps it's the cost of forfeiting a Sunday sleep in. Or maybe it's the cost of taking those extra work shifts. It might even be the cost of saying no to what feels comfortable in order that we can say yes to the uncomfortable for Jesus. So this year, as some of you may know, and some of you may read, I decided to do a year of Bible college. I wrestled with this decision for over 5 years. And I knew that what I was saying yes to was the right thing. But boy, does it feel like a cost at times. It has cost me my sunset walks when I've had to write assignments and submit forums. Pastor Claire is laughing because she knows exactly how stressful this all is. It has cost me lazy Saturdays with my family and impromptu dinners with my friends. It has even cost me a very cozy spot in my comfort zone. But I've chosen to set this year aside and serve God. And I know without a doubt the cost has been high. But I also know that it's been worth it.
Yeah, right.
Let me tell you what it has done for me. It has grown me. It has deepened my knowledge of God's word and how to understand it fully. It has stretched me beyond what I thought my capacities were. And it's shown me, in fact, that they're slightly bigger than I imagined.
Very good.
It has stretched me so much. But you know what? Do lousing. I made that up. I mean, I used the Greek word and then I added on some stuff. Didn't fully make it up. Myself to God's will this year has definitely taken me into unfamiliar and unknown territory.
Yeah, great.
But God has blessed my life, and I know he's blessed the lives of others too.
Yeah, that's right.
Denying myself and picking up this particular cross has been worth it.
Yeah, great.
And I honestly and truly believe that as you deny yourself and pick up the cross in whatever area God is calling you to pick it up, in whatever area he's calling you to serve him, it is going to bless your life.
Yeah, come on.
He will increase you,
and
he will cause you to grow.
Yeah, come on.
And you know what? He'll cause others around you to grow as well.
Yeah.
And he'll bless them. The question is, are you willing to pay the cost? The second thing that I'd love to look at is the love that's involved when we serve. Sometimes the cost is a little bit easier. As we read earlier, both Ruth and Mary were in one way or another motivated by love. Love for God and love for others. Both women were not only prepared to pay the cost, but they were prepared to serve in love, even if it meant doing something they might not have initially wanted to do.
Yeah,
let's read Ruth 2, verse 11 together. But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, how you left your father and your mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have taken refuge."
Yeah, great.
Ruth's act of love was evident. Boaz and everyone around witnessed it They knew exactly what she had done. Her selfless act of lovingly serving her mother-in-law had not gone unnoticed.
Yeah,
and she was certainly about to reap a mighty reward for what she had done. As some of you may know, she went on to birth a son, and there out of came the bloodline of Jesus. There is another passage of scripture in Mark 12, verse 29 to 31. And here Jesus reminds us that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all of our strength. However, he continues on and says that the second, most important, is simply this, to love our neighbors as ourselves. And he says, there is no commandments greater than this. Jesus knew that in order to love and serve him, we would have to fully grasp what it means to love and serve others too. He knew it so well that he even modeled it to us. He modeled to us what it meant to love those who did not love him, to serve those who would not only deny him, but ultimately even betray him. Jesus knew that the heart of a servant needs to be aligned to the heart of the Father, or the serving just becomes too hard. When we look at the account of Ruth, everything she did, motivated by love, was hard. It was challenging. And at times, it was even risky. She had to glean in a field amongst men she did not know because she loved Naomi. She had to lay at the feet of a man who could have very easily rejected her because she loved Naomi. She even had to potentially be given to marriage or given in marriage to another man, a much older man, as Jewish customs demanded, all because she loved Naomi.
Yeah, wow.
Yet it was this love that kept her serving Naomi well.
Yeah, very good.
I don't know about you, but when I read of all of this love, I am 100% convinced that I need to up the ante on how well I love others.
Yeah.
Matthew 25 and verse 35 is possibly one of the most challenging passages of Scripture when it comes to loving others. You see, Jesus doesn't say in this passage that when you gave your friend a drink or when you fed your family a hearty meal, as my husband does every night, so blessed, or when you clothed your equal who was naked. Instead, Jesus says the following, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it for me." Jesus knew that loving those we know well or we have relationship with was going to be somewhat easy. But loving those we don't know, those who maybe look a little bit messy or perhaps sound different to how we do, or perhaps even those who us or others deem as unworthy. That's the challenge, loving them well. This year, I've had the incredible privilege of being part of something that is so much bigger than myself, something that pretty much embodies this exact passage of Scripture. I've been part of the food pantry. But for more than that, more than just being part of it, I've actually watched as the team that volunteers, how they gather together, pack, and sometimes even deliver food hampers, have loved people they do not know. They've given to people who sometimes look a little messy, people who need more than some of us could ever imagine needing. I've watched them shine their light so brightly that all others see is Jesus. Matthew 5 and verse 16 simply says this: let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. These wonderful food pantry volunteers, they come in week in and week out, and they do good deeds.
Yeah, right.
They sort through boxes and boxes and boxes of fruit and veg. They separate all manners of things, and then they pack the most beautiful hampers. Some days, just recently, packing more than 30. They do good deeds, not to be noticed, not to gain fame or fortune, but simply to glorify God, to let others see Jesus through their selfless acts of love and service. I've watched as they've laughed and sung, packed and sorted. I've heard them praying for those who are willing to allow them to pray for them. And I've seen them loving every single person who comes in the door. I know without a doubt that they have most definitely played and continue to play a major role in shining their light,
yeah, very good,
displaying their good deeds, and bringing all glory to God.
Yeah, very good.
You may be listening and thinking to yourself, you know what, that's all very well, but I'm not capable of any of this. Well, you know what, my friend, that is a straight up lie from the enemy. You, every single one of you, me included, we are image bearers of God. John 1 John 4 verse 8 tells us that. It tells us God is love. He loved us before we loved him. He sent his only son to die for us because of the great love that he had for us. And as someone who is made in his image and purposed to bring heaven to earth, you are absolutely purposed and well-equipped to love others and glorify God. So can I encourage you? Will you let your light shine before others that they see your good deeds, your kind deeds, your servant-hearted deeds, and glorify your Father in heaven? Can I encourage you not to let a single seed that has been sown here this morning to be robbed from you? Allow it to take root in the soil of your heart.
Brilliant.
Guard your heart right now by purposing not just to be a hearer of the word, but determined to be a doer of the word. Someone who, regardless of the cost, will step out into the unknown because they're called by God and they're filled with his Spirit.
Brilliant.
We are called by God and we are filled with his Spirit.
Beautiful.
And you know what? Hebrews 13, verse 20 to 21 tells us that the ones God calls, he equips.
Yes.
He doesn't call you and send you out on your own. He calls you and he fully equips you.
Brilliant.
So you are someone who will not only love God, but you will be someone who, as Jesus instructed, love others too. And not just the others you know, but the others you don't know.
Yeah, great.
I am certain that the enemy would love nothing more than for us all to be the kind of people who are selfish, who are constantly saying no because of the fear of what it might cost us, and who refuse to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with a love so deep and so wide that it naturally just spills out onto everyone around us. But this morning, you have an opportunity to refuse to do what would appease the enemy, and instead step out of your comfort zone and glorify Jesus, determining to serve God no matter what.
Yeah, good.
No matter what the cost may be, and to serve others, because the love that you have for God and for them outweighs even the biggest fears you may be facing.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.